This is Speaking Volumes. I'm Larkin Paige Jacobs. Josh Rollerson is the host and producer of Speaking Volumes, which is ending its run after nearly 100 interviews. For this, the final installment, I asked him what he's been reading.
I just picked up, actually, The Mysteries of Pittsburgh, which has been, you know, on my list forever since I got here. I read Wonder Boys shortly after I got to Pittsburgh, and so I was still kind of learning the geography, but already was recognizing how place-specific Chabon is in his Pittsburgh novels. And from what little I'm only a couple chapters into Mysteries, but it's even more so. It's very specific, like intersections are named and specific buildings. And so it's very easy to kind of put yourself in the action.
I think the place specificity is right for Pittsburgh, because I feel like Pittsburgh is, in the Pittsburgh region, you're very much from your neighborhood.
Yeah. And where he fits into that, I'm not really sure, because I don't think he's a native. Like, I think he came here as a teenager, possibly. I know he went to Pitt at some point. He's not, like, deep-rooted in the city, but he definitely has absorbed that kind of identification with places and locales.
How much do you read?
I read about 20 or 30 minutes before I pass out every night.
You mean when you pass out at 8 p.m.?
Right. Yes. It's an early bedtime for me, and reading is a good way to, you know, shut the whole system down. So I read until I literally lose consciousness and drop the iPad and sleep until it's time to come and do Morning Edition.
I mean, I think people might assume that you're an avid reader and that you must consume a ton, but is that true?
Not as true as I would like it to be. I'm like everybody else. I wish I had more time to read, and the list of books that I would like to read is way longer than the list of books I will ever have ended up reading. But, you know, I find time for it. I've had to kind of retrain myself to read for fun. I used to read sort of for a living and spent many years reading really narrowly. It was pretty much all literary theory and criticism, and then a very narrow subgenre of literary science fiction. That was all I consumed for about 5 years.
What do you mean you used to read for a living?
I was in grad school for a long time, and so I was teaching literature and I was working on my dissertation. So when I finally closed that chapter on my life, I had to kind of reclaim reading for fun, because it had been such a laborious pursuit for so long.
Do you feel like you wouldn't want to read nonfiction because your work is basically one long piece of nonfiction?
I sit here all morning and I get all of the reality I can handle. And especially when you write a lot of news copy, some people are really good at it, but I am not at finding the joy and pleasure in language. In that context, for me, spot news doesn't do it for me aesthetically, you know, and fiction does. Just not to say that there isn't long form, even journalism, but nonfiction more generally that is really beautifully written. But I guess for whatever reason, I don't spend much time in that world. The last like substantive work of nonfiction that I read was the Lawrence Wright's book on Scientology, which, you know, another in-house
recommendation. I read The Looming Tower. I haven't read it.
Yeah. You were telling me about The Looming Tower, and I had just seen that movie, that Philip Seymour Hoffman movie that was sort of loosely about Scientology but without saying so that he wouldn't get sued. So I was interested in the subject, and I read Wright's book and learned exactly how litigious this Church of Scientology is. That was fascinating, but that was a massive tome.
I think people would be interested to learn that science fiction and fantasy are kind of your genres of choice.
Like I said, it can be limiting, so I'm working against it. I'm trying to get back to just sort of mainstream lit fic. I picked up The Interestings by Meg Wolitzer earlier this fall and finished that not too long ago. It is a straightforward literary realist novel. It starts in the mid-70s and follows the lives of this group of friends who all meet at summer camp. At this camp for the performing arts. So they're all sort of like arty, talented, and gifted types. And it follows them through the 80s and the 90s as they grow up and have lives and gradually come to realize that they are not all of them special snowflakes and, you know, destined for greatness on the stage and in the arts. And although some of them are, and one in particular, I really wasn't on board with it first. I was really reluctant initially, but I stuck with it. And I was really glad I did, because it had a lot to say about wasn't quite my generation. It's a little bit earlier, but I found a lot to relate to, and that I was raised in a culture where I was encouraged to be creative and do things that were not necessarily like going to be economically sustainable, especially knowing what we know now about what's happened in our economy. But it's a really good post-recession book. I've been thinking a lot about literature as being demarcated by 2008 to 2010.
Hmm.
Novels written after the financial crisis have a very different tone, and this is one of them. It has some kind of subversive things to say about the way we think about talent and, you know, human worth, really, about finding a way to be a grown-up and to be comfortable in the world where you're not constantly being rewarded for your specialness, which is something that I'm struggling to come to grips with and a lot of people my age are coming to grips with.
Mm. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me about what you're reading and what you're interested in.
Thanks for having me, Larkin.
Josh Rollerson hosts Morning Edition on 90.5 WESA. Josh's book, Singularities, Technoculture, Transhumanism, and Science Fiction in the 21st Century, was published this month by Liverpool University Press. You'll find more book picks and past episodes of Speaking Volumes online at WESA.fm. Thanks for listening.